We're back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, talking today with Dr. Neela Boyer, Clinical Associate Professor in the College of Veterinary Medicine at Kansas State University, talking about separation anxiety in animals, primarily in dogs. It does present in cats as well, but primarily in dogs. And you know, we're going to talk about kind of how it affects the different animals at the different ages. I imagine it's harder on the younger dogs.
Yeah, this has been, an interesting and challenging time for a lot of pet owners. We are seeing a lot of pets being adopted or even new puppies and kittens right now. And so one of the big things that we really encourage new pet owners to do is to work on socialization and enrichment and training as best as they can. And that's not going to look the same for every individual family based on their level of risk for COVID and their level of risk tolerance as far as kind of how they work on enriching those puppies, especially. Many clinics are going to be drop-off right now, so we're taking fantastic care of your pets when they're in the clinic, but that is a time where many of them can be having a short separation from their person. So working on those short separations at home in the puppies are really important. Working on crate-based training when they're little guys is also really important too, and to talk with the trainer about what kinds of classes might work best for your individual pet.
All right, so yeah, socialization, and then again, probably similar to the last segment, not everything's going to work for every animal.
Right. Yeah, it is so important. We want to be careful to, with puppies. We know that there's a lot of things, and I will bring up like noise phobia is one of them, that in the first few months of life, introducing them to various sounds that are in their environment is so important, because if they're not exposed to those sounds when they are in an early developmental period, it's a lot harder on them when they are older and experiencing those for the first time. So that first few months of life are so critical for handling socialization, getting to see people that look different than their house members, family members, and how do we do that? That's a really good question right now, and one that you should talk to your veterinarian about with your new animal to find out what their recommendations are.
All right. You mentioned that cats experience the anxiety a little bit, and I'm just curious, is there anything you can do to try to mitigate that in cats?
Right. I mean, cats definitely, we talked about litter box issues, and I think number one is if there's something that has changed with your pet's behavior or their medical health, talk to your veterinarian, because it may be medical, and that may not be a behavioral problem, and so we may have to address it differently. With cats, I find so many clients that with a litter box issue, they can be sometimes a little bit embarrassed about what's going on with their animal or ashamed of what's going on. But remember, this is an important thing, because the earliest that we find that there's a problem with them stopping to do something like litter box hygiene or health, it's really important that we know about it, because there's often things we can do that it has the earlier it's found, the better the outcome is going to be in many cases. So definitely bring that up. With cats, again, I know the caller brought up some good points about things like music, white noise. A lot of animals do better with, there was some nice studies using music therapy, so classical music in cats. There was also a nice piece of work where they looked at audiobooks in dogs, and audiobooks actually fared a little bit better than classical music in some dogs to help them with confinement distress. So being in a crate, some dogs do great in crates, others don't, and we again can find alternatives if that happens. But for cats, enrichment is really important. There's some really nice materials out there that have information from your clinic, from your veterinarian, about how we can enrich the lives of cats in their home. So definitely reach out and ask questions about how we can do that.
All right. Well, as more people have been home, I imagine a lot more people have been going out and taking their animals out and walking them and like they should be and getting some exercise. That's probably a key for anyone for their personal health, but also for our animals.
Yes, I'm sure there's a lot of worn-out dogs out there right now. But remember, it is also about mental enrichment. So there's a lot you can do, even if you are on quarantine or you are confined or you don't you don't have a good spot to take your pet. There's a lot we can do in our homes with mental enrichment, so games that we can play, puzzle toys in the house that we can use for our animals to enrich their mental stimulation. Physical stimulation is definitely part of it, but don't think you've got to walk them endlessly. So dogs also value their time of rest as well. So the other thing that I think is a really key thing I've learned about in the last few years are these essentially sniff walks, where we're not just taking them out to, you know, go for a walk with ourselves in mind. We are also thinking about what they might need. So maybe even these short 5 and 10 minute walks where the dog is allowed to kind of walk around and sniff different things. And instead of kind of edging them along quickly, we're allowing them time to do that. And that's actually a really good mental stimulation tool, is allowing them some sniff breaks. So it's kind of a different way of thinking about a walk.
Okay. Well, that's a good tip for me, because my dog likes to go on long walks, and you know, I just think he wants to pee everywhere, but he does like to stop and just sniff things. And I've always wondered about, well, what are we doing? Why are we just stopping here, you know?
Right. It's a huge thing that dogs like to do. And I think we have more and more awareness as time goes on about what might be good for their mental stimulation as well. And that's one of those things. So it's not just the physical, it's the mental as well. Those are all part of our management tools that we use now in dogs.
Okay, very interesting. Of course, their noses are so much more powerful than ours. I think we have a caller here. Steven's getting it queued up for us. And they've got a question or a concern. It is, okay.
Good morning.
Go ahead, caller.
Good morning. You may have mentioned this, ma'am, and I didn't hear what you do, but you're very well informed with animals. Somebody reminded me the other day that when you're walking these dogs on the heat, keep in mind how hot that pavement is. Take your shoe off and put it down there and see what they're walking on. I know their pads are different than our feet, but still it's hot. It's hot, and I don't know if people consider that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Thank you, caller, for bringing that up, because we didn't talk about that yet, and it is so important that we have to think about for some of our pets that maybe have specific physical needs. So the hot pavement, yeah, it has been really warm this summer. And yes, we do see injuries to the pads associated with that. So you need to be cautious about when and how long you're exercising your individual animal. The heat of the day, the humidity for some of these pets can be a really big recipe for disaster, whether it's hot pavement or the flat-faced dog, dark-colored dog. Sometimes there are dogs that just don't know when to stop. So I have to think about some of the labs and some of those guys that are just incredible people pleasers and have an incredible tolerance for exercise and endless energy levels, and they will sometimes push themselves way too far. So it is our job also to condition to those walks and the length of those walks. Thinking about it really is not just the length of the walk either. A lot of pets do enjoy those sniff breaks, time just getting out and sniffing the fresh air and being with their person. But yes, definitely be careful of the hot pavement. That's a huge problem in some of our pets.
All right. Well, we're about out of time, Dr. Boyer. If people have any questions or concerns, how can they get a hold of you guys there?
Well, KSU Veterinary Health Center is where I am, so we are always happy to help, and I know lots of people have great veterinarians here locally, and many of them are very competent in looking after pets with separation anxiety, and we've got great trainers in the area, so we have a really good community as far as awareness of some of these things and assistance for pets that need that. We don't have a behavior specialist at the university, so we do sometimes refer these patients, but unfortunately our closest behavior specialist is a long ways away. So this is something that we're happy to help if we can.
All right, sounds good. Dr. Boyer, thanks for the time, and we'll talk to you again sometime down the road.
Very good, thank you.
All right. That's going to wrap up this first half of In Focus. Stay tuned. We'll talk to some Parks and Rec officials up next on News Radio KMAN.